Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Opening day. At this moment, every fan from every team feels exactly the same way at the exact same time. Like anything is possible. And on Arena Club, home of the original Slab Pack, you can rip open that feeling anytime you want. All the excitement, the hope and anticipation, the love of the hobby and love of the game is right there in your hand. Have an opening day every day. Let the chase begin at arenaclub.com.
Only at True North stores, new True Rewards members stack your savings at the pump. Sign up and earn 15 cents a gallon on your first fill-up. Second fill, get 30 cents off a gallon. Then earn a massive 40 cents off a gallon on your third fill-up. Join now. This offer won't last. Find the True Rewards app in your favorite app store. Download and click the star to sign up. Must be a new member of both True Rewards and Shell Fuel Rewards to qualify. Limit 20 gallons per fill. Additional terms apply. Offer ends August 3rd. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Welcome to another week of the Best of SDHAM from the Soccer Down Here Network. 92.9 The Game in the Odyssey app here on the Off the Woodwork podcast section. At 92.9 The Game and the Odyssey app. John Nelson here with you. Thanks for dropping by, as you always do every single week. We kind of give you a bit of a greatest hits and a recap of the week that was when it came to everything that we cover in the sport of soccer. Monday through Friday, starting at 9:05 Eastern Time on the SDH Network, whether it is on social media, live on our YouTube channel, live on X, live on Twitch at twitch.tv/soccerdownhere, or archived later on in audio form on your favorite podcatcher, Spreaker, speaker with an R in the middle, S-P-R-E-K-E-R, is our head end for the storage of all of our stories, individual segments, and individual guests. You can catch us there and on your favorite podcatcher 24/7, 365. Time to take the tour of the week, and we'll start things off with national team play. And with the Gold Cup happening, what we decided to do was enlist the aid of our friends north of the border at Footy Prime. Footy Prime, you can catch them on your favorite podcatcher, and they also are getting some time on SiriusXM as well with recent addition to their programming window. We caught up with Craig Forrest to find out what the latest is coming into the Gold Cup with the Canada men's national team and someone who is a lightning rod, their head coach, Jesse Martin. Time to talk Gold Cup, and we welcome in, full disclosure. James Sharman and I go back about two decades. And James and I worked together at the old Score television network in Toronto. And James was one of the soccer guys, and they brought me in to do American sports and things like that. And so James, through multiple iterations of being a cook and a restaurateur and diving back into media, is now at Footy Prime north of the border. And so with the Canadian men's national team getting ready to do their thing in the Gold Cup, I reached out to James, and I'm like, James, yo, we need to talk. And so James has volunteered Craig Forrest to talk about the Canadian men's national team. Craig Forrest, the Footy Prime, hanging out with us here at 10:30. Welcome, my friend. Congratulations.
Yeah, thanks a lot. I didn't realize you went back so far with Sharms.
Yeah, Sharms and I go back to the days at the Score. So absolutely. And so I've kind of followed what he's been doing. And I've got to figure out how to get his food imported to this particular part of the planet so I can have it, you know, in the fridge and the cupboards and such. But
right.
But yeah, so I was like, dude, we need to talk about the Canadian men's national team. And he volunteered you.
Happy to be here.
So, I want to turn this into something akin to both an education and a bit of a Gold Cup preview and all that kind of stuff, because folks here south of the Peace Bridge may not necessarily quite get the full thought pattern of everything going on up there ever since Jesse Marsh was hired. There are times, Craig, where it comes across that Jesse sounds more and more like a wrestling bad guy. You know, he could work on Monday Night Raw or Friday Night SmackDown, the way that he's talking in press conferences and sending out quotes and tweets and things like that. What has it been like north of the border up there to have Jesse Marsh as basically a paid tenured professorship sponsored gig to be the new head coach over there for the Canadian men's national team?
Well, quite honestly, Jesse Marsh has hit the ground running. He's done an absolutely fantastic job with this group of players. He obviously knows he's got a lot of talent to work with. They got some depth in just about every position, which is really something that's new for us. It's almost, it is a golden generation, and we can't get away from that. They're absolutely brilliant. He knows what he's got, like I said. So he's managed them very well. Manage the media very well and all the public, and everything that he's done has been spot on, you know, and even having digs at the American program from time to time has brought some attention down the States, I understand, but we're happy to have him. And initially I was actually hoping that they would sign a Canadian as a national head coach, and I wasn't a big fan of going with Jesse initially, but I will say that I was completely wrong about that, and he's done an incredible job. Smart man.
So what are the expectations under Jesse coming into the Gold Cup? I mean, we'll talk about the match, the first match in and of itself here in a second, but what are the expectations in this tournament now that you have Jesse in charge and he's circling the wagons and bringing in the talent that everyone's anticipating for a first-choice roster?
Yeah, there's lots of competition. The expectations are incredibly high with this squad. They need and will never get a better chance to win the Gold Cup. Yeah, we won it back in 2000, but we were ranked 12th out of the 12 teams that qualified, and we had to go through qualifying to get to that Gold Cup. That was a different set, different animal altogether. Now we have that expectations where this squad is going into it to win this tournament, and that's what their goal is. And I don't think if they fall short of that, they'll be disappointed.
And what's it like having that as part of the mindset now, where everybody was like, okay, we know the big bad teams that are there, we know that, you know, Mexico, the United States, but what is it like to have that now as like, okay, no, our expectation is to win this tournament. We're not just here to be, you know, to have our arm put around us and sit there and go, nice job, and get a pat on the back kind of a thing.
Mm-hmm. No, that's exactly right. That's not going to hold water. So you look at the squad that they have and who's decided to come in, which is just about everybody. I mean, nobody's talked to Jesse and said, I don't want to play. That's a little bit different than we're seeing south of the border. They want to be part of it. And I mean, obviously being a strong squad and, with the chance of playing at home in the 2026 World Cup, everybody's playing for positions in these games. And, you know, there's a few games before the World Cup, but not that many when you're thinking about it. So every minute counts for every player that's trying to get the nod for the starting lineup in 26.
So in a perfect world, as you get ready for this matchup against Honduras at BC Place, where I imagine probably for those of us here on the East Coast, there might be some naps involved to get ready for a 10:30, you know, Eastern kick tonight. All things being equal, starting 11, how would you run it out there if you were on the touchline with Jesse Marsh time?
How would I? Well, I would be looking to high press, which they love to do. We didn't see it so much in the Canadian Shield friendly matches. They changed the lineup considerably, certainly from the game against Ukraine to the to Ivory Coast, Cote d'Ivoire. So a bunch of players changed there. Honduras has always been a difficult task for Canada in the past, but they're not obviously as strong as they have been in the past either. So they'll be looking to put them under all sorts of pressure. Who they play up front, Jonathan David, who they play with them. I think they'll start with Kyle Larin, and we might see Promise David at some point. I hope we do in the match. And in the middle of the park, be interesting without Eustáquio there being playing in the Club World Cup with Porto. Kone perhaps would get the nod in the middle there, and in the defense strong again with Cornelius and probably Waterman. So left back situation with Alphonso Davies being injured and Sam Matakube being injured, rupturing his Achilles against Cote d'Ivoire was a tragic injury for him. Feel really bad. He's just an absolutely terrific guy, and he's just struggled with injuries. So he's out for 8 to 12 months. So you go third string, which I wouldn't even call it necessarily third string, with Richie Larea at left back. Just shows the depth we have in that position, and how we're not really talking an awful lot about Alphonso Davies, who's, well, the quickest player on the planet.
What's it like to kind of bury the lead when it comes to talking about Alphonso Davies? We haven't really talked about him a lot. You've mentioned a lot of other folks. What's it like to almost bury the lead when it comes to Alphonso Davies?
Yeah. You know, I will say about Alphonso, I mean, he's a world-class player. There's no doubt about it. One of the best left backs in the world. But when Canada plays without him, you could argue they played better. Certainly in World Cup qualifying for Qatar, he missed half of the World Cup qualifying matches. And they played really well without him. So it's not one of those types of situations where you're just desperate to get him back, because they seem to handle the situation very well without him. But when he's back, obviously, he's got to be.
Greg Forrest, Woody Prime, dropping by and giving us everything we need to know about the Canadian men's national team as they get ready for Gold Cup. And I have my Gold Cup schedule right here. Because it's printed and it's on cardstock. So I know it's official. Getting ready for Honduras at BC Place late night tonight to start things off at the end of match day one. You mentioned a couple of names, and it's the dichotomy and the extremes that we get to see sometimes with the Canadian men's national team. Kyle Larin, who I would swear to God, we've been covering Kyle Larin ever since like 1872. And to have him continue to produce the way that he is on the national team level, obviously, is it as unexpected as it seems to still have him up front and still being as a treasured part of the attack as it seems he is?
Yeah, it's a good question. I mean, he looks after himself really well. He's a competitive player. He hasn't slowed down one bit. Jonathan Osorio, I could argue that that's happening a little bit now. He's getting a little bit older and slowing down. But Richie Larea at the moment, hungry to play, hungry to succeed. I feel bad that it didn't work out for him at Nottingham Forest, or at least that he didn't get a chance there, because I honestly think he would have fit in and would have performed well. I'm not sure what the reasons why that didn't happen. Maybe profile, maybe, you know, physically he's not the biggest player in the world. And you look at some of the Premier League players or can play that position a little bit more physically strong. Maybe that's the reason. But it just shows you that even in football, you need the manager, and manager number one, to like you and give you that opportunity, and that just never happened. But he's rolled with it and come back, and he's performed very well in Major League Soccer.
Yeah, and you know, when you have the prospect of Evangelinos Marinakis storming out on the pitch and sitting there and wanting to get a piece of you if you don't do what he asks, I mean, there's that too. You know, Steve Cooper, to me, it seemed like Steve at times – he had like a roster of 75 different guys that he had to try and juggle. And it just seemed like at points it was a numbers game. And if you're not liked, then if you're not going to be instant results, you're going to sit. And then you have to prove yourself in a bunch of different ways. You mentioned Kone, and he's another guy that I wanted to focus on a little bit. We mentioned the age of Kyle Larin, but someone who has been a part of things for the Canadian men's national team from a very, very young age and continued to grow his game is Ismail Kone. What has it been like to see his game grow and evolve to where it is right now, where he is? He's not just penciled in, he is pinned into the lineup now.
Yeah, no, his rise has been quite quite quick. Moved around. Certainly, the national team has helped him with exposure. Certainly, when he was at Watford and he gets the move, he's had some difficulty at club level. I think he's maturing, not only as a person but as a player as well. And I think he's got a bit of a ways to go before he's the finished product. I think he's that type of player that is just going to get better and better. And I think the Gold Cup's a good tournament, great tournament for him to be consistently a good performer.
What about Dane St. Clair and Ned? I mean, obviously you sit there and you stare at him. I know that Eric Ramsey at Minnesota United was like, man, I could have used him against San Diego to keep my goals against down. But to have a stabilizing force back there like Dane, obviously that helps things out, especially in a tournament setting against teams that can be pains in the you-know-what like Honduras.
Yeah, Dane's got a really good profile, and he's got some confidence and a little bit of a likable arrogance about him. But the goalkeeper position really is strong for Canada. Max Crapo, Pantemis in Portland, who they're competing for at club level for that spot, is done very well for Portland. I'm sure a lot of Portland fans think that he's actually better than Max. He hasn't had a look in. So there's lots of options. Tom McGill as well is another player that's on the books at Brighton and Hove, been out to loan some lower divisions. So that position is very competitive. And I don't think Dane has tied it down just yet as the number one. But I think that Jesse Marsh likes him, likes his size and his profile slightly more than Max Crapo, who never lets Canada down when he plays either. So good position, always been strong in that position. I'm a little bit biased.
Hey, nothing wrong with that. Did you have likable arrogance when you were a performer on the pitch?
No, not really. I wouldn't say I wasn't. At times, I guess I was a little bit arrogant, or I would like to say confident, but not so much on the field. Not like we see with Dane St. Clair. I think he uses it almost to keep him in focus of what he's doing and in the game and the moment as well. You know, so he's not fazed by any of it. And by the way, we went to the game when he played against Cote d'Ivoire in Toronto, and I was sitting behind his family. He must have had 50 family members there.
What's that like? It's like, okay. Yeah, dude, I need your tickets. How many do you need? How many do you have? I mean, literally, the block of St. Clair. I mean, he probably had to go to everybody and go, I need tickets, you know, got tickets. Are you using yours? No. Using yours? No. I need your tickets. The block of St. Clair was that big?
It was basically a whole block, yeah, yeah. And every time he touched the ball, they all cheering and everything else. I was watching to see if he would look over, but he was really focused on the match and did not look over, but... Man, oh man, it was great to see, you know, all these St. Clair jerseys and his whole family there. It was magnificent.
When it comes to let me ask this way. I've got like a two-part question here. When it comes to Jesse now being in charge and the buzz, what is the from what you guys have been able to disseminate over at Footy Prime? How much of a buzz is there now involving the Canadian men's national team? With everything that's been going on, with Jesse being out in front and distracting everybody else from what he's trying to do with the club and having them focus on game state and all that kind of stuff, and Jesse will be the one to win the press conference, win the soundbite. What's the buzz been like with the fan base now?
Well, I mean, it's a small fan base, and I'll, you know, let's be truthful about it. I wish it was bigger. We get outnumbered by away supporters. Whoever we're playing against, that's been generational. We saw it. I mean, you would expect it so much against Ukraine because of what's going on, of course. But Cote d'Ivoire brought a lot of fans as well, historically. I mean, I remember going playing against teams like Holland and Germany and Spain and Morocco and Scotland and Jamaica, Trinidad and Tobago, and being outnumbered by the supporters all the time. So there is a buzz. And World Cup qualifying, I think we were mostly pro-Canadian fans at the games. But I think there's an element of not knowing still. They know certain individuals. They know of Alfonso Davies. He's in Edmonton. He's on the broadcast for the Edmonton Oilers Florida game. And everybody knows about him. But how many people have actually seen him play? Not many. We just don't have access, unfortunately, at the same level as other sports. But it will grow. And now we're into the final steps and sort of leading in inside a year to the World Cup. It's going to grow. But the expectations for me are very, very high. And like the United States and Mexico,
if they win their groups, they stay in those countries. So they potentially would play in Toronto, two games in Vancouver if they could win the group, which is not going to be easy, but they should have a decent draw. They would stay in Vancouver. They win that, they would stay in Vancouver again. So this would be the same with the U.S. Finish second, all bets are off. I think they end up in Kansas City. So, but the opportunity's there, and I expect that they're going to do well. And anything short of the round of 16, I'd be very disappointed.
Okay, so then you're the grand exalted poobah of everything Canada soccer. How would you grow the game and grow its exposure to where it's not just buzz in pockets, but it's constant conversation? How would you alter the landscape, and what would you do to make sure that it's a part of the normal conversation?
That's good too, a good question. I mean, we have a duopoly in telecommunications here in Canada with Rogers and Bell. And One Soccer, for instance, was owned by MediaPro, a Spanish group that was willing to spend millions, invest millions into the sport in this country like nobody else has done before. And those two, especially Rogers, were blocking them and made it impossible. And they still don't have access to a channel on regular TV. So you have certain powers and pressures from other groups that make it very difficult to make that move. Now, on mainstream TV, I covered the national team for years and years, me and Jerry Dobson calling games. They almost use that as a promotional tour, like a tool. We would promote the game coming up, and people would see that it was promoted on the Blue Jay games or et cetera. They would go buy tickets. Well, there's not that. You don't get that anymore. So when the crowds are small, a lot of the fans are like, I didn't even know the game's on. So they have to find a way to do a better job as sort of, you know, with PR in the modern world where you're not on mainstream. So how do you get access and get to those people and get them out to the games? It's a difficult problem, but I think we're getting there. It's just baby steps, unfortunately.
Okay, so then the baby step tonight, 10:30 Eastern time at BC Place, Canada and Honduras. Give me, if things are going well, you know the marquee names, you know the names that folks are going to gravitate toward. Give me one of those second-level guys. Give me the foot culture and not a stud or a star that folks can gravitate toward in the broadcast. If things are going well, then this second-level guy doing his job the way that he is supposed to. Who do you think that would be?
Ali Ahmed out of Vancouver. Potentially he's another exciting player. I think people know Tejon Buchanan coming back off injury. A couple friendlies leading into it, certainly the one against Ukraine, played extremely well. Hasn't gone well at club level, got bought by Inter Milan, went back over to Villarreal on loan, but he's one to look out for. And then Promise David, hoping that he's going to get some minutes in this match, certainly will in the tournament at some stage. He could be one of those players that could break out and potentially be a starter in 26. Jefferson is another one playing with Bournemouth. Certainly has the quality, but he hasn't performed yet for Canada. So, you know, who are these, you know, players going to be, and what are they going to do when they get those opportunities? But so far they haven't done enough, but could be one of those type of players or one of those players.
Yeah. Saw Jesse Marsh spending time with Jefferson the other day, trying to walk him through, I guess, what Jesse is anticipating or expecting from a player in those positions. All right, Craig, get the promo for me. Everything going on up there at Footy Prime with Sharms, where you try to put him in his place and keep him in that big easy chair.
Yeah. If anybody wants to listen to our podcast, Footy Prime, the podcast, it's available where you can get your podcast. We just did a deal with Sirius XM, so we're on there as well. Good times, really good times. Thanks for having me on, John. It's really been a pleasure. And hello to everybody in Atlanta, because that's been a real hotbed for their MLS team too. I've been proud to watch that.
Well, you know, now that you have the garage door opener, you know that you can come in at any time and sit there and storm the gates and go, dude, you're wrong. I need to tell you something. So literally, you know how to get in the door and can surprise us anytime you want. You want to get something off your chest. You know how to now that you've got the keys, you can unlock the house, and it's all on you. And so say hi to Sharms and everybody up there for us. Don't be a stranger, especially as Gold Cup continues, because after this, it's Curacao on the weekend. And stuff and stuff and stuff. And so you know that we'll be banging on your door as the tournament continues. Don't be a stranger, my friend. Great to see you. Thanks for dropping by.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9 to 5 for a 5 to 9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Opening day. At this moment, every fan from every team feels exactly the same way at the exact same time. Like anything is possible. And on Arena Club, home of the original Slab Pack, you can rip open that feeling anytime you want. All the excitement, the hope and anticipation, the love of the hobby and love of the game is right there in your hand. Have an opening day every day. Let the chase begin at arenaclub.com.
Only at True North stores, new True Rewards members stack your savings at the pump. Sign up and earn 15 cents a gallon on your first fill-up. Second fill, get 30 cents off a gallon. Then earn a massive 40 cents off a gallon on your third fill-up. Join now. This offer won't last. Find the True Rewards app in your favorite app store. Download and click the star to sign up. Must be a new member of both True Rewards and Shell Fuel Rewards to qualify. Limit 20 gallons per fill. Additional terms apply. Offer ends August 3rd. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
It's always great to catch up with Craig and our friends at Footy Prime to find out what's going on north of the border, whether it is professionally, in club, or in national team play when it comes to Canada and the men's and women's national team. Also, when it comes to the national team, one of the other teams under the spotlight is the U.S. men's national team in the Gold Cup. Head coach Mauricio Pochettino chasing after as high standing in the Gold Cup as you can get. I know that expectations for fans are one thing, but what is it with Mauricio Pochettino and how are things progressing in the Gold Cup? For that, we always enlist the aid of our friend Bart Keeler and the Soccer for U.S. pod to find out what Bart thought about coming into the tournament and find out what happened after the matchup with Saudi Arabia. Here are some of our conversations from this past week in the Gold Cup, finding out what Bart thought about the USMNT.
Matt Freeze, not really challenged. So our friends at Soccer America, and this time around, it is Mike Waitala. Mike Waitala gave him a 5. It's just like, yeah. It's just, yeah.
Yeah, I guess. I thought he was pretty good. I'll give one critique. There is, this is like nitpicking. Yeah. But the thing that I think he does, I think it's very clear that there is an open tryout for the number one position here.
Yeah.
The end of the game, he comes to claim a cross. And he tries to play too quickly after he claims that cross. He needs to, we're talking like 93rd, 4th minute. Grab the ball, lay down on the ground a little bit, fix your shin guards, get up, and then play. You know, do the old, that is one of those things that maybe with a little experience he picks that up. But that's like nitpicking. Made a good save. That was it. He really didn't do much at all.
There you go. So once again, unchallenged. And so then we get into the back line, look at the defenders, and one of the defenders in particular, he had a moment last night, courtesy of our friends at Fox Soccer.
Berhalter stands over the free kick. Tillman runs away. Berhalter hooking it in. It's Richards! It's in! And the U.S. does use the set piece. It's Chris Richards, his second ever goal. And the U.S. finally breaks through against Saudi Arabia.
it was Chris Richards, the Pride of Birmingham, Alabama. And Chris Richards gets a 9 last night from Mike. Alex Freeman, a 5. Tim Ream got a 6. Max Arfston gets a 6.
Richards was man of the match outside of that goal. Max Arfston, boy, this is running into Brooks Lennon territory where the dude had led the team with 88 touches, one chance created. All right. That when I say getting into Brooks Lennon territory, I mean a guy who's getting a high volume of attacking touches and not producing anything out of it. Sorry, Brooks. I'll save my Atlanta United analysis for later. But Max Arfston, bro, 88 touches. You got to do more with that. Your passing accuracy was below 90. It was 83%. It's not good enough. You're not successful in your take-ons enough, but I mean one shot, it was blocked. Like, it's just, come on, man. Like, you got it. You have to do better if you're going to be getting that much attention on the ball. Did not connect on a single cross. Now, part of that, I will say, we'll talk about a guy coming up later, but it's not good enough. I do not understand why he keeps getting played. I just don't. He is not at this level. I thought he had an okay game last night. He's just not at this level. Sorry.
Midfielders. Malik Tillman, invisible, according to Waitala, during the first half. Diego.
Sorry. No, Tillman and Luna. We'll lump them together because they were both invisible. Not a good game for them.
Yep. De La Torre, he's proved able to maneuver past his marker to bring the ball upfield, only from deep on the U.S. side of the field. Only first half shot came from McGlynn when he provided the cross that Ajumong headed into the hands of Alakidi from 8. Another rare midfield delivery into danger came from Berhalter's free kick, assisting in the game winner. Bunch of average stuff. McGlynn gets a 5. De La Torre and Tillman 4s. Berhalter gets a 6. Diego Luna got a 5.
I'm struggling to figure out how to evaluate Sebastian Berhalter because I think the set piece delivery has been really good. I think that is, if there's one thing we learned from this Gold Cup, it's Christian Pulisic is not a set piece taker anymore for this team. I don't know who is, but holy cow, the set piece delivery has been markedly better during this Gold Cup.
Uh-huh.
He gets a great ball in for that free kick to give the assist to Chris Richards. Barely onside, but still onside because the knee is a playable part of the body. But I just don't know what else he's really bringing to the table and how much that will change when he's challenged against a team like, say, Costa Rica or Canada. So I am still holding my evaluation for that.
Up top, the starting forward, Mike Waitala saith, quote, "The Saudis robbed the ball from Patrick Ajumong in the penalty area 3 times in the first 50 minutes, during which his short glimpse at goal ended with an easily saved header. Pochettino finally provided Ajumong a frontline partner, Damian Downs, in the 62nd, but the Saudis continued to contain Ajumong. Ajumong, as a starter from Waitala, got a 3.
John, if I were to ask you what you think Pat Ajumong's traits were, his positive traits as a soccer player were, what would those be?
Under normal circumstances, Just tell me. I would hope that size and power would be 2 of them.
Yeah. If you're going to be the big guy up front and you're getting dispossessed every single time the ball comes to you, you're not able to hold up the ball very well. You had 1 or 2 opportunities for it. His touch is not good. He doesn't turn on the ball well. And if your only thing you're able to do is run people over, but you don't have the ball and don't make anything of it, you're useless. I'm sorry. I'm done with him. That sounds really harsh, but man, I don't know what we're doing here. I just don't. Look, if the message is you're trying to send a message to Josh Sargent that he's replaceable, that message is you're safe.
Subs Tyler Adams gets a 6, Damian Downs a 5, Brendan Aronson a 4, Miles Robinson and Johnny because they were cups of coffee.
Oh, I forgot Miles even came in. That's how late it was.
They got cups of coffee, so they didn't get ratings for Miles and Johnny. So there you go.
Good to see Johnny on the field. He and Tyler have been kind of sick or hurt. And same with Damian Downs. So good that they're back. I think that alone is the positive out of all those subs. I thought Damian Downs was better than a five. I'll be real honest. He had, it didn't lead to anything. I will admit that. But when he, one of his first actions when he comes on the field was just an amazingly darting run that moved around defenders. Great pass into him. I want to say it was Tillman. I can't remember. And he's in on goal. Unfortunately, I mean, a Saudi defender, I think the right back at that time just sprints back and is able to make a challenge on the ball. But a very lucky challenge, because if he's half a second or so late, it's a free kick. And it was just such a, you could see, like, again, I hate to lump on Pat, but we needed that speed and those smart runs the entire game because they were there. And Damien comes in and makes just a very nice run at pretty good pace, and we find him in behind. You do one or two more of that a game, you've got an actual shot on goal. And Pat had opportunities to do that. Nothing came of it. And you could just see the brightness that he could bring to a team. And again, I'm done with Pat. I don't want to see him start again. I just don't understand what we're doing here, because he's clearly not up to this level. If it's just the, oh, well, he's trying to figure it out and we're giving him time to figure it out. Stop it. Stop it.
All right. Well, then let me play devil's advocate here. How much of this is service into Big Pat?
And he got service, John. He got service. So to answer your question, he got a lot of service.
Okay.
He got multiple times where he got ball to his feet in and around the top of the box. Nothing came of it.
Okay. And so that in these situations where I'm having you defend your position, I'm going to take the flip argument and have.
Yeah, it's fine. Now, I will say in the first half, service was not good because Tillman and Luna weren't great. I think, unfortunately, we're seeing that Jack McClendon is not a winger, and he's not a winger, John, because he's not fast. Unfortunately for Jack, everything else about his soccer game is fantastic. The dude, the problem is in soccer, if you're a tortoise, you're not going to win the race. You're just not. Not as a winger.
Unless you're Sergi Busquets, yeah.
Well, exactly, not as a winger, right? And so if I think Jack needs to watch some Busquets film and figure out how to play soccer as a dude who runs,
occasionally.
Yeah, he runs occasionally. And I mean, Jack runs. I'm not saying he doesn't run. He's just not very fast. It's kind of funny to watch. And so I do agree that in the first half, Pat's service was not great, but he still got several times where a ball was played to him and it was lost. And that's also the issue of if you're playing a ball into him for someone to either run off of him or just combine in the slightest bit, and he's not able to hold it up because his first touch is bad or he gets dispossessed too easily, then that's also going to hurt a guy like Luna or Tillman or even McClint. Again, John, great story. He seems like a great guy. I don't know what we're doing here. And if it's, oh, well, we're trying to get him. Oh, we see the talent, but we just got to get him acclimated. There are other players who are younger, by the way, than Pat. That's the thing. He's not young. He's 24. Okay. He's not young. Damian Downs is much younger. I'd rather invest that time of him getting used to the international game into a guy who is already at a level above him and has the potential to be multiple steps ahead of him. Especially when you're looking at the fact that Pat's nowhere close to the top four depth chart. He just isn't. He's at least fifth. I'm sorry. He just is. Six, if you want to count some other. I mean, he's just not there, right? And when you have your top two strikers hurt, and then you intentionally leave your third best striker at home to teach him a lesson or whatever, send him a message, then you're just manufacturing reasons why he's here. And I'm not saying he doesn't deserve it. He's been fine in MLS, but he has not proven at this stage to be an effective striker for this team. Great that he showed up in January camp. Love that he had the one, opportunity he created for himself in Nations League. But on the whole, it's not good enough.
I thank you for the quick note in the middle of your rant. I've taken care of complimentary punishment fee. I don't know where complimentary punishments 1 through 4 are.
Yeah. Yeah.
But we've taken care of complimentary punishments.
Yeah.
That's what I'm saying. All right. So in between now and Monday, we will have talking points involving Haiti and the matchup at Jerry World at 7 o'clock. What is your early anticipation of Haiti and the U.S.?
I do think Haiti has had an unlucky this tournament. I think they've been better than a loss and a draw. Obviously, they got a red card in their game yesterday, which I think hindered their ability to win that game against Trinidad. But I'll also say from the U.S. perspective, it wouldn't surprise me if we see a lot of changes, mainly because it seems like some guys are back to health. So Tyler Adams back healthy, at least healthy enough to play basically I think he played 35 minutes. I forget exactly what the total was. You have Johnny Cardoso back in the mix. You have Damian Downs healthy again. Haji Wright should be back to answer the question. Apparently he got married.
Mazel tov.
Right. I feel like we could have used him last night. So I'm curious what changes will be made, because I think for two reasons. One, you have some players coming back. And two, this is a shorter turnaround than Sunday, Thursday. This is Thursday, Sunday. So you really only have 2 full days off as opposed to 3. Now, granted, you get a whole week off between the group stage and the knockout rounds, which is nice. But it wouldn't surprise me if Pochettino rotates anticipatorily of that that break, right? Just saying, okay, well, let's give some people some more days off. Also, you've got the knockouts wrapped up. And while Haiti is a good team, as Mateo points out, some good pace. The guys that I would like to see, in my opinion, are upgrades over the guys that are on the field. Tolkien, Adams, Downs are the three that I would want to put up there. Even Wright, depending on what his fitness level is after getting married. Hopefully he didn't expend all of his energy last night.
Look, didn't hurt Bob Beamon. That's all I'm going to say.
Hey, there you go. Or maybe it's a boost. I don't know. Regardless, I think the guys that you could bring in to rotate are upgrades, and I would like to see them, because what we didn't talk about, John, this was the same starting lineup as the Trinidad game. And I do think that is a positive. I think one of the biggest critiques I would say of this program for the last year has been the maybe 9 months has been, there's been a very inconsistent starting 11. So the fact that you started the same, from game to game is fine. Like, I'm fine with that, but there are 3 to 4 to maybe 5 positions that I would like to see the next guy up, or who, what my opinion is, the guy in front of them start actually. Abby, I don't think he'll keep the same lineup, mainly because I do think part of it is you need to play Tyler Adams more than the 30 minutes he got to see if he's healthy, right? I definitely think we need to see John Tolkien, who apparently also has some fitness issues. Who knows? Apparently our players can't play more than 20 minutes without getting hurt. But there are guys that I would like to see. I mean, again, I don't want Pat Ojemang to start. So is it Downs? Is it Wright? I don't know. As much as I love Jack McGlynn, I would like to see an actual winger play on the wing. So I just would like to see some changes too, because I feel like we're not at our strongest 11 anyway. And they got 2 wins. That's great. You don't have to beat Haiti. You don't even have to. You can lose to Haiti and still win the group, depending
Don't encourage, sir.
I'm not. But you don't have to beat them. You certainly don't have to beat them by a lot. Any win is good. And I think you can beat Haiti if you put Tyler Adams on the field, right? if you put Tyler Adams on the field for 45 minutes, for the first 45, you should beat Haiti, right? If you put Tyler Adams out there, I think if you put John Tolkien out there, I think you're looking at a pretty convincing first half performance, personally. And maybe you put Haji right up there, and maybe he plays on the left, and you put either Tillman or Luna maybe on the right. And now you've got a little bit more of an actual, what I would say is a better attacking, going forward attacking lineup. I would love to see McGlynn start next to Adams, John, because, again, I think McGlynn is better at that central midfield role. I know he's played a little bit different role for Houston this year. I think McGlynn needs to play next to Tyler Adams and let Tyler do the running and let Jack McGlynn do the
Busquetsing,
the fun stuff, right? And I think especially if you get a guy like Wright, Downs, and Luna, maybe Tillman, whoever, on the right wing, I think that would give you more – I'm going to use a Greg Berhalter term, so I'm sorry – more verticality to stretch a Haiti team that is talented – not necessarily organized.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Opening day. At this moment, every fan from every team feels exactly the same way at the exact same time. Like anything is possible. And on Arena Club, home of the original Slab Pack, you can rip open that feeling anytime you want. All the excitement, the hope and anticipation, the love of the hobby and love of the game is right there in your hand. Have an opening day every day. Let the chase begin at arenaclub.com.
Only at True North stores, new True Rewards members stack your savings at the pump. Sign up and earn 15 cents a gallon on your first fill-up. Second fill, get 30 cents off a gallon. Then earn a massive 40 cents off a gallon on your third fill-up. Join now. This offer won't last. Find the True Rewards app in your favorite app store. Download and click the star to sign up. Must be a new member of both True Rewards and Shell Fuel Rewards to qualify. Limit 20 gallons per fill. Additional terms apply. Offer ends August 3rd. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Welcome to the best of SDHAM from the Soccer Down Here Network. John Nelson here with you. Once again, you can catch SDHAM Monday through Friday, 9:05 a.m. Eastern Time for 2 hours. Traditionally, 11:05-ish is when we wrap things up. So for 2 hours, Monday through Friday, we get to take the tour of everything going on in and around the world of soccer. And guests are of international flavor. They cover the international game. They let you know what's going on around the world. One of those around the world guests comes and visits us every Thursday, and he comes in fully loaded. It's our buddy Nino Torres and Goal TV play-by-play man extraordinaire. What we like to do when Nino comes and visits, we like to find out what's going on specifically in Portugal as one of the places that Nino calls action on Goal TV, and find out about clubs, what makes them tick, who to look after, and what's going on when these clubs make it into the competitions that we're keeping an eye on, like the Club World Cup. So here's our conversation that Jason had with Nino about Porto and the Club World Cup. And I want to get your take on this. What's up, Nino? How are you?
Hey, how you doing, buddy?
Good to see you. We're going to talk about Porto because I got to get your preview of Porto, because if there's anybody I'm going to talk to about Porto, it's you. Come on. But I'm talking about Landon Donovan and the question about guys playing more games right now, and Donovan at his time, and now Christian Pulisic, and everybody's yelling about this in the U.S., and I think just creating a tabloid out of thin air with it, in my opinion. But Absolutely. Guys playing more games now than then, Landon never had the pressure in his career. And this is not an MLS thing, because obviously I'm going to defend MLS.
Right.
But he didn't have the pressure that Christian has dealt with over the past couple of years at Milan. And now the year that he's going to have at Milan. Like I said yesterday that Pulisic has three things on his agenda over the next 12 months. The World Cup obviously is number one.
Right.
Number two is Milan, because they're trying to get into the Champions League. He's got Max Allegri as his manager, who's pretty demanding.
Right.
This is a team that's got to contend for a league title. And the Gold Cup would have been the third. And this is a Gold Cup team that the U.S. was never going to be at full strength because a guy's being away to Club World Cup and injured. If he's got to sacrifice something to be his best for the other two, you got to sacrifice the Gold Cup. I had no problem with him doing what he did.
Absolutely, man. Absolutely. Because he's the only true American star in the history of the game. With all due respect to Landon, all right? Because before Pulisic, was Landon the guy.
I'll put Dempsey in the conversation. I'll put Clint Dempsey in that convo. But even comparing what Dempsey did at Fulham and Tottenham for a short period of time versus what Pulisic has done at Dortmund, at Chelsea, where he got unfairly treated, and at Milan, it's not the same.
It's not the same level, brother. It's not the same level. I mean, neither Landon or Clint did never. Nobody played on that elite team in the planet. Not a single American played for an elite team in the history of the game. And that's an extra pressure on Christian. Mm-hmm. Man.
It hits you mentally.
You know, because he's like, I am the guy. I'm the only one. I have to carry all the load, and I prove to the world that Americans can play at the elite level, an elite team. And I know AC Milan right now is not at the top of their abilities right now, right? But this is a seven-time Champions League winner, all right? Seven-time, okay? And it's no Fulham, no. No, it's a different story, bro. He's in a different category. And they got to respect that decision for him.
Yeah, I think when you look at, I think he played 50 games over the past 2 years. The wear and tear is real. The mental wear and tear is real. And
absolutely.
Like I was saying right before you came on, when Landon stepped away in 13, and he stepped away from everything, he stepped away from not just the national team, but from the club level. I backed him on it because he was very real in it, and he was very open to talking about mental health before a lot of people were. I backed him on it. I think Jurgen Klinsmann torpedoed the U.S. by not taking him in 2014, because when Altidore got hurt, it would have been Donovan who comes in to help you in that moment. He held a grudge,
yes,
and it was wrong by Klinsmann. But if you're going to take that break, you've got to then support Pulisic in taking the break that he's taking now, because I think it's physical and mental. And it's a weird conversation we're having right now in the U.S. about this.
And the thing is, in the U.S., they don't understand the level of intensity that there's in Europe. Okay. And in Europe, you don't have a break. You don't have a long break that they're having here in the MLS. You don't have that, brother. You played 50 games, 50, 60 games a year. And now they're adding this competition. I mean, he's not in, but they're adding this World Cup of club competition. And that's another load of games for players that already finished the season. And now they're jumping in this tournament. And now they got a preseason. And then, by the way, in August, it's around the corner, brother. August is around the corner. The leagues are going to start in Europe. And all these guys from Real Madrid, the players that are playing in this Club World Cup, they're going to feel it. They're going to have to manage
the early portion of the season a little bit differently. They're going to have to manage the rest of their preseason a little bit differently.
Because this is like the preseason kind of now without
– Yeah, it's a fascinating one. I've loved the Club World Cup. Like I loved the game that we had here with Chelsea and LAFC. I loved the Boca Benfica game. I mean, come on. What was your reaction to that?
Ooh, baby. Send me a message to the planet. I wanted to talk about that. I know we're going to talk about Porto and everything else, right? But I got a message for all the guys in the U.S., right? Guys, don't worry. CONMEBOL has the back for America, for the entire continent, brother, because we're stepping up into this competition representing North America, Central America, South America, every the Americas combined. And CONMEBOL is taking the flag for them because they're standing up to these guys, man. I'm telling you, I was thinking that Boca was going to be run over.
They've been a mess.
Boca was going to get run over. They got a new coach. The players, they got a lot of issues with the visas and stuff. And like, oh, my God, I think this is not the right moment. And Benfica, for me, I think it's a superior team than Boca Juniors. But you got to take the human factor in it, brother. You got to take the pride factor on this game. And Boca Juniors is like, hello, we won this Copa Libertadores six times, buddy. Six times. We put all the trophies on the pitch. On all our fans on the stands, and this is South American soccer atmosphere in the U.S. right now. Feel it, baby. How do you like it, man?
You know me in Argentina, so like you give me that kind of fan experience, I'm all in. I loved it. That game was amazing. Back and forth, 2-0 to Boca, then Benfica comes back. It's two red cards. It's two Argentines who break Boca's hearts. I mean, just everything you can imagine in terms of the storylines. It was great. What else has jumped out to you about this tournament? Any other teams, any other players that you've really enjoyed so far?
Kids, the wonder kids, you know, Rodrigo Mora, Estevao, Mastantuono. And I was talking to Johnny the other week in This is the only one of the four best players for the next decade is not here. Yeah. And that's Lamine Yamal. The other three are in this tournament right now. Rodrigo Mora, Mastantuono, and Estevao. Those are all 17, poker of 17-year-olds that the people don't realize this. You sometimes, I mean, from time to time, we get a superstar of 17-year-olds. Now we have four 17-year-olds that can rule the sport for the next decade or so or more, right? And we do have it here in the U.S. right now. Enjoy these kids, man. They're fantastic. And when I said this also on Palmeiras, I put it on Twitter, and the Portuguese guys were, no, Nino, you're crazy. I'm not crazy, brother. You put Palmeiras in the Champions League, I'm telling you, less than quarterfinals, I'm not seeing Palmeiras out of the quarterfinals in the Champions League. Okay, I'm gonna play in August with Universidad de Porto. We're gonna play in here in Lima. Those Palmeiras, man. I was watching the game. I was scared, man. I was scared because the Palmeiras should have won that game 3-0. All right, they should have won that game 3-0. After some fantastic, Diogo Costa is phenomenal. This is phenomenal goalie, but. The Portistas are not happy with Martinez. I mean, but I see something different, all right? I think now there's a fluidity that was not there a month ago with Porto. The things are going better now, but, you know, the fans. I want my team to go on right now. Right now.
Yeah.
No, it's a process. I see the transition. I see the transition of Martinez, and I believe that if they don't sell Rodrigo Mora, which they're talking
about, I saw that come up today,
already,
yeah.
To go to PSG. I don't think he's going to go. I don't think they're going to let him go. But at the same time, I'm not so sure because the Porto needs money. He is the only asset that they can get a lot of money and players. They're talking about bringing Asensio in a combo for 50 plus Asensio and another two players from PSG. I think it would be a mistake if they let him go. I think it would be a mistake if they let him go. If you're going to let him for 50 now, brother, stay another season. You're going to sell him for at least 75, 80.
And you're going to get him for another season. That's going to help you on the field for another season.
Right. Because he's the one who carries the load of this offense.
So tell me a little bit, for people who are going to be making their way over there today or are going to be watching it, you know, we know Miami at this point. Like, this is a Miami team that – at times can look amazing in the attack because you still have Messi. I mean, I don't care how old he is. He's still Messi. And you've got other guys around him that are very good. This team attacking wise can look like world beaters, but defensively they can look like U-12s. So we know Miami.
Yep.
How does Porto play and kind of give us a description of what they will look like today at Mercedes-Benz Stadium?
I think they're going to put a lot of intensity with Tino Anselmi leaving the
leaving Rodrigo Mora take the wheel of this offense. Keep an eye on Fabio Vieira, guys. Keep an eye on Fabio Vieira. Keep an eye on Samuel Morodion. I don't know if he's going to start or not. I think he will. I think he will start for Porto. And the intensity that puts Porto, I don't think that the Inter Miami right. is ready for this. I think the Inter Miami is ready for this because they're going to explain those. They're going to exploit the flanks, you know, those spaces that they leave when they move forward. They're going to feel the pain. They're going to feel the pain from the wings. Remember this, guys. Remember this. They're going to feel the pain from the wings when Porto comes into the attack. And Samuel Morodion is a serious dude, man. He's 23, but he's a serious attacker. Hopefully he gets a better season with Porto. He started so strong last season. He kind of like winding down in the second half of the season. But still, 6'3", 195, and with a lot of technique. And he is the best partner for Rodrigo Mora in the attack, all right? Samu and Rodri, this is the combination that we're looking into this Porto side of
Marbella. So with Mora, and he's getting that attention, you mentioned at PSG, every club in the world's going to be talking about this kid and potentially bringing him in. Is he... And I know he's a big factor for this team already, but is he ready to take that next jump? I mean, I'm not asking him to be Lamine Yamal. I think that's a special situation for a teenager of his age and what he's done. I honestly don't know if we've ever seen that. I mean, maybe you're going back to Pelé and that kind of impact as a 17-year-old. Yeah. But is Mora in this next year ready to take that jump and be the best player in the league in Portugal? Can he be that? Okay.
Heck yeah. Absolutely. I have no doubts. And the reason why I mentioned this poker of aces of 17-year-olds that I know Lamine already, he's one step ahead of the other three.
Because he's on another one
with the national team. He already carried his national team. He already carried Barcelona. I mean, he's one step or two ahead of the other three. Okay. But the thing that they have in common, all these four, is their mentality, all right? They know what they have. They know what they have. They're aware of their powers, all right? And they know when to use it and how to use it. And that's something that we don't see very often in young superstars because usually we get all the fancy tricks and, oh, I'm about to score in every single goal. No. They know their tempo. They know that when to stop. They know when to back up. They know when to bite. Because all of these guys, when they lose the ball, they go after and try to record the ball right away. You don't see that very often on these 17-year-old kids that they one of the wannabe stars. It's a different story when you are a wannabe than when you know that you are a star. And that's that. And their mentality, their character, it's so strong from these four. And that's why I have a lot of expectations on this. Rodrigo Mora, and I have no doubt that he's going to be the best player in Portugal next season.
I'm excited to get see him up close. It'll be 3:00 kick with Miami and Porto today at the Benz. I'm really intrigued to see what the crowd's going to look like, too. Look, a 3:00 kick in Atlanta is not easy. You got a lot of people who are at work. They're not going to be able to get off work for it. Miami and Messi, we've seen them quite a bit here over the last year plus. We've seen Messi in the stadium with Argentina at the Copa America. We saw him here in the playoffs. We saw him here late in the regular season last year. The effect of seeing Messi is not what it was when he first arrived in the United States. And Porto in the Southeast, I have no real... Like, I don't know what it's going to look like from Porto fans. I know in the Northeast it would, but in the Southeast, I don't know.
I know there's a lot of Northeasterns. They went down to Atlanta to see this game. I know a lot from Jersey, from Connecticut, from all that North Side. They're coming down to Atlanta, brother. We're coming down to Atlanta, they're sending everybody sending message. Nero, you gonna call this game? No, I'm not calling this game, brother. I'm not. Sorry, the World of TV is not covering this event. But we'll see what we can do. But maybe we come up with something. We're gonna do some TikTok or something. We'll see. But
But yeah, there's a lot of Porto fans.
I think a lot of the Miami haters are going to be pulling for Porto today. Abby is a definite Miami hater, an Atlanta United fan. A lot of friends going to pull for Porto. But I think you're also going to get a lot of neutrals who are going to go and will be pulling for Messi and pulling for Miami because they know Messi. So it's going to be an interesting vibe in the Benz today.
Absolutely. And can I say something about the about Benz, man? And it's not because of you guys. It's not because I'm with
you. You're with us. You're one of us,
Nino. Not because of that. All right? I'll be biased, maybe. But I think you got the best stadium in the country. All right, it is, yep. For me, it's the best. It's the best vibes, you know, the ceiling that closes and opens, and it's the best stadium in the U.S. to play soccer. I know they're going to New York you know, New York.
It's a little bit bigger, too.
It's New York, all right?
The line for World Cup final, you had to have 80,000 seats, and the Benz is just under that. It's 70 plus. I think if you squeeze seated in the very, very top and you expand it as far as you can go, I think you're in the 75 range with seats.
Okay. So the four finals
has to be 80 in this past cycle because that eliminated Atlanta. That's why we got a semifinal. That
23,000. It's in that there. That's the was the upster
73.
72,000.
And that might have changed actually because they did something in the 300 level. They added a kind of club area in the 300 level that is now in effect at Mercedes-Benz Stadium. So it might be actually a little bit less than that, which is okay. I mean, not much. It'd be more like 71,000, 71,500, something like that. We're lucky.
San Siro is that is in that range too, and they held the World Cup. No, was it? Yeah, no, they didn't held it. I was in the.
Oh Roma. Yeah, we're.
I'm sorry. I was thinking of the World Cup '99. I was like, hold on a second, they got
it. We're so lucky to have the Benz, and I mean, I'm there 20 games a year typically, and it's easy to take it for granted, but it just everything feels big in there, and. I think it sounds really good, too. I mean, I know Enzo Maresca wanted to complain a little bit after the game on Monday. I think he needs to look at his fan base and ask him why they didn't show up. That's just my opinion. But it sounded good in that building to me because of the LAFC fans who came and made noise. And there was 200-plus of them, and they were consistently making noise and supporting their team, and their players were reacting to it. It was very cool to see them come across the country on short notice for that game. I want to see what it's going to look like today. I'm not sure yet.
We'll see, man. I think it's going to be fantastic. And now another thing that we're talking about this Club World Cup is already the Europeans are saying that the European media is saying, not the European the players or coaches now. They're saying that they're not taking as serious as the CONMEBOL teams are taking this competition. They didn't expect this power. They did not expect that. Oh, Jesus! These guys can play it. Yeah, we can play ball, buddy. We can play ball. We can be serious too. All right. So you're not playing. You're not playing. I don't know. Give me I can't come up with a random team from Lettonia or Latvia or any of those. I can't come up with the names right now, but. Copenhagen, whatever, one of those teams that they play in the knockout stage in Champions League. Because they are those kind of teams too in Europe, guys. And Europe is not the paradise, all right? You also got the crappy teams from crappy leagues. And it's a different story when you come here and play the top dogs of the continent.
And we'll give Monterrey some credit too. I mean, look at what they did with Inter, you know? You got Sergio Ramos into that team. Come on, he fits into CONCACAF. He fits into the Latin American style over here pretty well. That was a fun game. That group to me, that's the one. Group A that we're going to see today and the River Monterrey Inter group. Is going to be a blast. River against Sergio Ramos and Monterrey and River against Inter. Those are going
to
be dogs.
I think it's going to be lots of goals in that game. I think it's going to be lots of goals in like maybe like 3-2 or
something. There might be lots of goals. There might be lots of red cards. You might get both.
Yeah, that too.
Yeah, it's gonna be a blast. I've loved the tournament. I really want to see where it goes. There's already talk about the next edition in 2029 coming back to the United States and expanding to 48 teams like the World Cup. I think the biggest thing, maybe, but it's something that I kind of hit on when we talked about Auckland City, and John is up covering Auckland City, getting to know their story right now. It's a team of semi-pro guys from New Zealand. There's no way they can compete with these teams right now. But how do you get better? You get access to compete. You get the opportunity to compete. You take your lumps. You get beat.
Yeah.
And then you come back and you're stronger the next time around. And I think we'll see that if this tournament continues to expand. But for you, when we talk about where this tournament can go and what it can be, you know, how big does this thing get? It's not going to be the World Cup, but can it rival the Champions League in terms of attention?
Oh, I'll say heck yes, man.
I think so
absolutely.
Too.
Then the thing they got to figure it out better is the criteria to qualify, because we don't have Liverpool, we don't have, you know, the there's another team that from Europe, especially if you're gonna make this tournament more attractive, you're gonna get more teams from Europe and from CONMEBOL. I'm sorry for all the guys in Indonesia or Australia. I'm sorry. This is top level. This is an elite competition. And I know you're saying that they're going to get better than the next time, but if we're going to get this more attractive, you need to get more powerful teams into the manager way to squeeze them in, you know, because at the last time Champions League winner is not here. And come on.
Maybe what you do is you have a play-in round that you get if Auckland City comes. Okay, maybe they don't get three games, but they get a play-in. Hey, they get an opportunity. If they could beat Red Bull Salzburg in a one-off, okay, cool, they get into the group stage. Okay, maybe that's it for the next tier that needs to compete. But your last four Champions League, your last four Libertadores, your last four CONCACAF, Africa, and Asia, all of your last four champions, they go, they're in the group stage. And then maybe we have...
Yes.
Play-ins or whatever. I don't know. There's a lot of opportunity here, in my opinion. Yeah.
But I think that, you know, Infantino is getting an idea of what they can do next. But I think for me, there's a lot of people complaining about this. Oh, no, it's, you know, nobody cares.
People care.
No, nobody cares. We all care.
I'm having a blast with this thing. Every day. I'm like, who do I get to see today?
I got my practice team here, brother. I mean, the soccer fans, we care.
Yeah,
soccer fans, we care. All right, and I know it's insane right now, Jason. You got so much soccer going on. You got the MLS going. You got the Club World Cup going. You got the Gold Cup going. You got everything going on, bro. In the U.S. can I go in now, man?
We need to get you up here because we need some help, because we're covering the WPSL. We had a women's game last night. Me and Maddie called that. We got Gold Cup tonight with the U.S. men's national team of Saudi Arabia. We got Porto and Miami this afternoon. We got Nico Moreno joining the show as well. Let's bring him in. We got Seattle in the mix. We got Peru in the mix. We got everybody in the mix.
Always great to catch up with our friend Nino Torres and Gold TV. And you can always catch Gold TV either in their way of broadcast, or you can go through our friends at Fanatis. FNTZ.co/soccer down here. You can follow along and find out what's going on with Fanatis and with our buddy Nino Torres with all of his play-by-play games that he calls all around the world in Europe, South America, and all points in between. Once again, this is the best of SDHAM. John Nelson here with you, taking you through the week that was on the SDH Network and our morning show, 9:05 a.m. Eastern Time. Thanks for dropping by here on the Off the Woodwork podcast section and the Odyssey app. One of the things that we like to do, and we have the opportunity since we mentioned the Club World Cup, is go and find really cool stories. And one of those really cool stories comes to us from Auckland City FC. They have made it into the Club World Cup, and they are in a very, very tough group with Benfica and with Bayern Munich. It's been a rough go so far after a good start in match number two. They are 0-2 heading into match week number three. So what we did is we toured and went up to their practice at the Baylor School in Chattanooga, Tennessee, and we caught up with a couple of their stars to find out what it has been like to be on the world stage and what it has been like for them to get the response that they have gotten on social media and what it was like to lead into the matchup with Benfica and what they learned from the matchup against Bayern Munich. Here's our quick conversations that we had at practice with Auckland City FC left winger Harris Zeb and with striker Meyer Bevan.
All right, so what's the vibe been like getting ready for this match?
Yeah, it's been good. We've been training hard the last couple of days after our game against Bayern Munich. So, yeah, I've been working on a few things, a few tweaks, and the morale's high, and we're looking forward to putting a few things right against Benfica tomorrow.
What did you learn about yourselves after the Bayern match?
That's a good question, because it was tough. You know, we come from an area in New Zealand where, you know, we dominate most games, you know, so for us it was a bit of a learning curve and things like that, you know, but yeah, I guess, you know, we showed, you know, the world and us, you know, that we can fight against some of the best, and, you know, it's a good challenge. So, yeah, a lot of things to take away from it, so.
What's it like to see the world respond the way that it has?
Honestly, it was a bit tricky, you know, obviously, you know, we did quite get a bit of stick on social media and things like that, you know, but to be honest, you know, for us, you know, we earned our spot here, you know, we've been dominating, you know, the Oceania football scene for a long time and things like that, you know, so I think we have full credit to our boys that, you know, like, we deserve to be here, but obviously, you know, it's a bit tough, you know, you're playing against players that are worth $50 to $100 million, you know, so we did the best we can, and so, you know, yeah, I guess, you know, people on social media are going to say what they're going to say, but at the end of the day, you know, we're here and we get to play against them, you know.
Well, and at the same time, though, you've gotten a lot of support on social.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, exactly. So, you know, everyone's, you know, realised that, you know, we've got full-time jobs and stuff like that. So we're juggling that as well as trying to play football against some of the best, you know. So, yeah, it's been awesome to see, you know, some of the social media guys get behind us and things like that, you know. So
what's it been like for you to respond to your regular job and the folks back in the office?
Yeah, honestly, I've been talking to a little bit to my family and things like that, but not too much with my workmates. I've just kind of, you know, been focused on football, but with my family and things like that, you know, I was, you know, it was tough, honestly, because a scoreline like that, I hadn't lost, you know, 10-0 since I was probably a kid, you know, so it was definitely difficult, but yeah, obviously my family gave me a lot of support and, you know, kind of reminded us, you know, you are playing against some of the world's best, you know, and you guys do have full-time jobs, and yeah, I was a little bit, you know, disappointed after the game, because I did feel that although, you know, they are the world's best and things like that, I think we ourselves let us down with some of our own actions, like our own passes, our own touches, where I felt we could have done better. But at the end of the day, you know, there's a few things that happened in that game which, you know, you can't control, you know, because like we said, the world's best, you know.
All right, so for those that don't know, what is your regular gig?
Oh yeah, so back in New Zealand, I work my fiance's uncle's delivery company, so yeah, I'm just delivering packages. That gives me time to you know, do my coaching and stuff on the side as well. When I signed for Auckland City, the opportunity kind of came about because it lets me work whatever hours I want, when I want. So it gives me the license to, you know, travel to America for 4 weeks with no burden. And, you know, even at the start of the year, we had the OFC Champions League. So just got to tell them, you know, I'm heading away for a few weeks. And so it gives me the most flexibility. And yeah, so that's why I'm doing that.
So what's the response been like on social over the last handful of days with you guys? It seems like that an entire planet seems to be warming to you guys.
Yeah, you know, look, we're happy that we can get that kind of warmth from everyone. You know, we come from a different place to all these teams, but look, we're still here. We still deserve to be here. So we've got two more games, and we look forward to those two games, and hopefully we can show ourselves in a better light.
What's study hall been like getting ready for this one in Orlando?
Oh, it's been the same, to be honest. You know, obviously it was just a bit difficult the first day after the game, you know, and then we move on from that. But now we have another task ahead. We've got Benfica tomorrow in Orlando. It's going to be hot. It's going to be difficult again. So we're going to go there with a game plan and make it difficult for them.
So how, without spilling any secrets, unless you want to, how do you make it difficult for them?
I mean, look, we don't want to concede as many goals again, you know, so we're going to win our duels and be more defensively compact. And then, yeah, look, so we're going to try and express ourselves a bit more and be a bit better on the ball and go forward a bit more and try and hurt these teams, you know, because like I said before, we deserve to be here and we've got two more chances to show that.
So what's the vibe been like when you guys get to wander out to Chattanooga? What's it been like?
Ah, it's been all right. You know, there's a few cafes around us and stuff like that, and the hotel staff are really nice. So, no, look, we're happy to be here and we're excited for the next game.
As always, once again, thanks to our friends at FIFA. Thanks to our friends that are tied to keeping an eye on Auckland City FC as they make their way through the Club World Cup. That is another go-around of SDHAM. Once again, John Nelson here with you. Lucha Plati, I'll play it safe. Enjoy the sport of soccer, as this is the summer of soccer. All the different activities, leagues, and matchups going on. We'll catch up with you again here next week. Thanks to our friends once again at FIFA, at Auckland City Football Club, Bart Keeler, the soccer for USPOD, Craig Forrest and Footy Prime, and our buddy Nino Torres at Gold TV. And thanks to Jason as well, and thanks to everybody with the SDH Network that we can tell you the stories every single week that we can hear on SDHAM. Which spots y'all played safe. We'll catch up with you next time.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
True North stores have Primo Eats and Pepsi brand products that are heavy on taste and light on your wallet. Right now, buy any Primo sandwich and add a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Handmade every day, Primo uses quality meats and cheeses. Complete the meal with a Pepsi. Grab any Primo sandwich and pair it with a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Get more with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your app store. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Going up. Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable six-blade shaves, swift rinse and four blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit DollarShaveClub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.